have to write it down. Yes, I'm on. This is where I get treated. At home, church, grocery store, wherever I go. But I think it was 1523, Fanny Crosby was born blind. And she is the writer of over 900 hymns, many of which are in our hymnal. But this morning, in reference to our study, getting ready for the Resurrection Sunday next Sunday, let's sing hymn number 33, To God Be the Glory. Let's stand and sing together.
Hymn 33, would you stand and join us, please?
Greater will be when we will come and see him face to face. I highly recommend, that if you're a moviegoer, you will want to see the movie, I Can Only Imagine. And it is done by Mercy Me, a group that started in Greenville, Texas. And the hymn, I Can Only Imagine, is possibly the greatest hymn in the modern times, and but the movie is beautiful. The gospel is not presented, but Jesus Christ is talked about, and it's just a wonderful movie. It's the kind of movies that they used to make. You just feel good through the whole thing, and I highly recommend that you see it. And the thing is about, I can only imagine what it'll be like to see him face to face. Will I dance or will I bow down and worship? And it's really a beautiful movie and so well done that I highly recommend it. Okay, now, let's see what we want to do. How do we want to do this? First of all, I lose friends by doing this kind of thing, but he had to leave, take his son somewhere. But April the 1st, Chris Daigh will be 50 years old, so y'all be nice to him. Yeah, just give him part the way, let him walk, and understand just when he trips and falls. So just be nice with him. And so they're going to be gone for his birthday, so I had to get him today, and he isn't here, doggone it. All right. Let's see. Now, I guess first of all, let's take prayers, and then I want to talk about what happened yesterday at that apartment that y'all went to, Larry.
Okay.
All right, first of all, prayer. Kit?
I have a story of God's grace, His blessing.
Wonderful, I love it.
And answered prayer. For some time I've been praying for my wife's spiritual development. The question is she have the faith, the kind of faith that God is looking for? Sometimes I hear, well, that's nice, you're praying and stuff, but this is the real world. When I was teaching Staying Spiritual, I talked about God touching our lives, and I pray that God will touch her life. So, Monday morning, this past Monday morning, Julia, my wife, is in the living room, and she sees what turns out to be some extensive water damage in our living room. So she starts to panic and sees dollar signs. And we hadn't budgeted to fix the house for thousands of dollars. So, and she budgeted for a trip for her part of her family to come over and visit. And she says, well, it's gone. So she turns to me and says, well, where are we going to get the money? I said, like Abraham, God, the Lord will provide. She kind of looks at me. Right.
Right.
This is the real world. So, by Thursday, she's in full stress, anxiety, depression. So we pray at dinner time, and it's not just about the food. That's kind of where we pray together, and I treasure that. We just started that a few years ago. So we pray about things that are important or things we see. So I bring up, okay, God, I don't know that I've prayed for money from God. I said, okay, God, if you can give us some money, or I don't know how I worded it. And privately, I was, okay, I know, God, you can answer our prayer, but if you do it, make it something that we wouldn't expect. I guess I heard that kind of thinking from Ellis Chafer in one of his things, where they're sitting down with Dr. Ironside and they're praying, make it somebody we don't know, so we know it's from you. Of course, after we prayed at this is Thursday afternoon, 4 or 5 o'clock, and of course, my wife turns to me, okay, you need to buy a lotto ticket. So, Friday morning, first thing, I come down, got my first cup of coffee, I'm reading the email, and there's an email from a real estate agent. Now, let me give you some background of this email. Years ago, we bought a piece of land in Hill County near Lake Whitney. We wished we'd never bought it. It was an albatross. It's in a gated community, so we have homeowners association fees, taxes, and it was supposed to be a good investment, but was anything but. So we've been praying for the last 10 years that somebody wouldn't buy it. Reduced price even. okay, God, if you want us to sell it, and well, there's no sellers, well, if you want us to keep it, what do we do with it? So we've gotten a new real estate agent last year, and this lady said, well, there's this class action lawsuit against the company that manages these properties. And so your chances of selling this are like slim and none and slim left town. So Friday morning, the first thing I get this email, someone's made an offer on our property. And not only that, there's a signed contract. It's not like somebody saying, I like to do this. Here's a signed contract. So I told my wife, I said, somebody wants to buy a property. So she gives me this look that would burn paint off a wall at 20 yards. Don't be joking with me. I'm not joking. She broke down in tears.
Wow.
Did she see that it was from a source only of God?
She understood that.
Good.
Now, there's one more point to this.
Oh.
This was Friday morning. So that means that it had been Thursday afternoon when they made the offer, right when we were praying.
Beautiful.
So praise the Lord.
Those kind of advancements, you're just so happy when you see them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. More than she thought.
Pardon?
It's one thing for you to see it. It's the other thing for her to see it.
She broke down in tears. Yeah. I mean, she understood it.
Yeah.
She understood it.
Very good. Okay, now, is there any other prayer requests or report or anything? Yes.
For us, it's a praise report that I think I put in the request about the praying for my friends at work that I met.
Yes.
New at Bank of America, and on Thursday, I was able to share with them the Book of Acts, so that was awesome.
Good.
Those people, they are Greek Orthodox, but they said they've never read it, the Book of Acts, like the way that we were talking about. So just keep on praying for that, please.
Now, can I interrupt and say, if in one day you gave him the Book of Acts, next Sunday I want you to teach us the whole Book of Acts in one sitting. Okay.
This is what we read. Yes. And they actually read it differently, but they kind of eye-opening to them.
Good.
So I'm really happy with that.
I was just having fun with you. That's pretty good.
I do want to request a prayer of this coming week because I've been approached by the several companies to actually get a full-time position. Right now, I'm a contractor. At Bank of America. And all of them have challenges. And then this one company, Lehigh Hanson, is actually in Irving, the closest to where I live. So I don't know if that's the right way to do. I'm halfway because I really love people at Bank of America too. But I've been working like 12 hours a day, every single day, including now. So I'm not sure how I can divide the time and the church.
Good. Thank you. See, hon, I'm not the only one that works 12 hours a day in the office. Very good. Very good. Good. Yes.
Me?
Yes.
Okay. I think everybody in this assembly needs to know, my husband will not appreciate this, but we got a call from VA saying that his monitor had showed something that was not good. So they called us and had us come in.
They called me, but she came in. Go ahead.
So they called us and told us to come in Saturday. We went in Saturday. Now, he's got the upper part of his heart is on March the 15th. You know, he has the monitor. So the upper part of his heart just went crazy. 400, 600 beats a minute. So that he went into AFib. He did not even know it. This was 6 o'clock. That's the time he gets up, and then, of course, he comes back to bed. He gets up, goes to the bathroom, and comes back to bed. He never.
You don't need to give my whole life history.
So he got to go to the bathroom March 15th. Now, James died on the 11th, and so I'm thinking stress, you know, maybe that threw him into AFib. But anyway, she was very, very, the cardiologist was very, very concerned. So the prayer is to pray number one. Now, I asked her, I said, does this mean this is life-threatening? She said, AFib is not life-threatening. Now, the bottom of his heart is not doing that much. But thank God he has a valve in the middle of his heart that was taking on the, slowing it down when it go down to the bottom to keep him from going to arrhythmia. Mm-hmm. And if he goes to arrhythmia, then it could be very, very serious. But right now, he's going back in for an echo. Our prayer, she's wanting him to get him blood thinners, and we're not sure, you know, we're just praying about that. But the main thing is that Herman prays for everybody else, but we need to pray for our shepherd and to make sure that he's healthy. We need him. I need him. And of course, it did scare me when she came in and said, come Saturday. And but I felt good. It's not, it's not life-threatening, but it is something to be concerned about. At one time, he went into AFib 24 times, and he never even knew it. Mm-hmm. And usually when you go into AFib, mm-hmm. your heart is beating so fast that it either takes you down, I mean, not dead, but takes you down, and he didn't even know it. At 6 o'clock that morning, his heart was beating 400 to 600 a minute, and he didn't even know it. So just keep him in prayer, and keep, we know prayer works. We know prayer works. We're having a sinling problem in our house, or having all kinds of plumbing problems and rusted pipes. And Herman and I went in together. We went into prayer and just said, we did the same. Just, Lord, if they're going to check it, make sure this is nothing in the scheme of things, but it's everything. God knows everything about us. So we just prayed that if there's any more cracks, that it would show in the test, because we're having to go up floor and tunneling and all this stuff. So it showed positive, and we know it was an answer to prayer. And in the scheme of things, it's very small. But God knows all of our problems. So I just ask, the main thing is, just pray for him. Just pray for him. We know what happened to him when he went down up here. We still don't know what that was. And we're talking about, go back to talking about James, because I thought, well, he died on the 11th, and maybe it was stress-related to that, but it was the 15th of March, which was for Thursday, last Thursday, that he went into AFib. So just pray that...
Well, thank you for just opening up my life, everybody.
I finished the book of John, at least.
Now, that happens to Mackenzie, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, and sometimes she wouldn't feel it. Sometimes she wouldn't, where it would just be rapid, and it would stop. So yours, thankfully, the bottom pulled it down, but hers was an electrical issue, so it would just stay up.
Okay. Now, what did she do to fix it?
Well, they did the ablation, and they cauterized, if you will, that electrical short.
Okay.
So that should no longer take place.
Yeah. We all have that valve in our heart. Some people's stronger, more sinners. That's what I'm praying for. Thanking for that. I don't see how you could be a doctor and not believe God created the body. I just, you've got to really be wise, become fools to do that. Okay.
So are you hooked up to the internet?
In a way, it's a heart Wi-Fi in Atlanta.
Yeah. He has a direct contact to you.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the other. We've got a good authority that Herman's hanging until the rapture. It's going to soon.
It goes to Atlanta, and if it's serious, they'll call the VA here right away.
Wow.
And
I think it'd been great if it had an alarm, so when yours went off,
oh,
it, when you were going,
beep, 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 beep.
Well, that would be stressful.
Okay, let's leave my heart alone. But thank you very much. Any other prayer requests? Yes. I'm sorry?
I have three prayers of Thanksgiving.
Okay, you're allowed three. Yes.
then I'm out of the knee brace.
Wow, very good. Yeah. You can kick him now better. Poor Mark. Any other prayer requests? Yes, Gigi.
My lifelong friend Jeannie passed away yesterday.
Oh, how old was he?
74.
Whoa, young guy.
No, girl.
Jeannie. Oh, Jeannie. I thought you said Jeannie. All right, young girl. 74, my goodness. That's young, isn't it, Jim? Yeah, that's young. My goodness.
There's a young man who attended our youth group for a while in McKenzie's group named Thomas, and he left the group about his sophomore year, just started making some choices that didn't fit in with the mode we were headed, and it went down a pretty dark path. He recently came out of a recovery situation and has moved down to San Antonio to start anew as a part of the recovery process, and reached out to me.
Wow, very good.
Yeah, message just to, it is just a simple hello kind of messages right now, but I know he's reaching out.
That's a flag.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we've been in touch. I've been touching base with him every 4 or 5 days, not to be too crazy, but and he's touch base with some of the other kids in the group as well.
Yeah.
So just pray for Thomas G.
Thomas G., please do. He needs your prayers.
Yeah, he has the foundation. I know he has the gospel.
Good, very good.
That was very clear way before he left. Do you know him? And he, so that I feel very confident about. So that I'm sure this is God still working in his soul too.
Beautiful. I love it that he called you. That's a big sign. Very good. There was a touch that he remembered. Well, that was good. Hope. I need to just touch and see if it's still there. Good. Yeah. Yes, Gigi.
Jim Pickles' daughter yesterday lost a baby. She was rushed to the hospital when she was pregnant. She lost the baby.
Oh. How is it today? Today?
No, yesterday morning.
I know, but how are they today?
Oh, I don't know yet. The family
okay.
Was pretty high. That
was the first time. All right. Let us know. Okay. Jill mentioned we've got a big hole in the kitchen floor. And if I'm ever gone in the next couple of days, if I'm gone mysteriously, look down in our kitchen floor. I mean, this hole is big. It's about 4.5 feet long and 4 feet wide and about 4 feet deep. And she could just easily put me down there, put dirt on it, put the towel on top. Nobody'd ever know. Nobody'd ever know. So just bear that in mind. Okay. yeah, exactly. I'm giving her coffee and bed and everything. As long as that hole's in there. Now, let's. I want to talk a little bit. I know. We've got to get on with our studies and worship, but this is part of our assembly. Yesterday was an important day. Larry?
So yesterday we went to our local Garden Gate apartment community that we go to every year for both Christmas and Easter. I think I shared with you the last time we were able to meet with them, we weren't sure if we were going to be able to get in. The same thing happened this time. I emailed them, said, looking forward to coming, just kind of on the assumption we could. And I kept getting pushback. Well, we can't work on Saturdays, or we can't be there after 6. We kept coming up with other choices of ways to get in. And then one of the managers who we prayed for before, named Maggie, outside of my emails, reached back out and said, I can just let you guys in. So she was willing to go out and be there and be there for us. And she needs our prayers. She has a surgery coming up.
I was just going to say, now be sure you listen to this about this Maggie who wants us to come in on that Saturday to witness and enjoy the gospel with people.
Right.
She has a major surgery tomorrow.
Major surgery tomorrow. If you could please be a prayer for Maggie.
Maggie.
And I don't know the details of the surgery. I know it's a very serious surgery. And she was there quite a bit of the day yesterday with us. So, just be in prayer for her. She's a believer. She definitely has faith that God's going to help get her through this, but it is concerning financially and physically.
Yeah.
We had about a dozen kids there. I always sometimes think, oh, this seems like a small crowd, but it's the perfect crowd, whatever it is.
Crowd that God wants.
Same with our own kids. Sometimes you feel like we don't have enough kids, and then we have the exact right number of kids, because if there's too many of us and not enough of them, it feels strange to them, you know, so it was wonderful. At one point, we just sent all of our children out into the apartment complexes. They go together with flyers, and they knock on the doors and actually mention to the families, hey, come on down. We've got some food and some fun, you know, just to come on down. Some of them have doors slammed on them, some of them. But they were all out together knocking on doors with flyers, and about four or five boys came in from the ages of about, I don't know, 8 to 17. And so they were all together. None of them were brothers. They were just friends that had met. What did they say, Mom? They were there.
They hung out together.
They hung out together doing not bad stuff. It was some kind of funky. They didn't want to tell us what the stuff was, but they did some stuff.
And, oh, that stuff.
Yeah. I said, we all do stuff, so that's fine. Anyway, it was very interesting because all of our children were gone. And so, for some reason, God led me to be the mom to sit down and do a craft with them and share the gospel with them, and you know, in kind of a very easy, cool way, because we were just talking about Easter, and the craft actually had a verse on it. You know, that's kind of how it works. You just start conversationally with them.
Yeah.
But all five of them, and I was trying, you know, you try and just talk with one person, but we had like all five of them, and I'm like, okay, I guess we're all going to chat about this right now. So it was very cool that we had that undivided attention with those five children, and then the rest.
Hey, that's a blessing.
It was awesome. It was awesome, and they all were very clear on the story of Easter before.
Wow, very good.
We had more information that they shared as we were talking than they did initially. But they all stuck around. Every one of those kids were there all the way to the end, which sometimes they get their sandwich and they leave, you know. They want to go do stuff. So, and there's a lot of stuff to do in that apartment complex. But anyway, we were able to share the gospel, the Easter story with them. We were able to eat with them. We were able to do a little Easter egg hunt with them. We played games. We got pictures we put out on the Liberty Youth Group website. And
good.
The other thing that was interesting yesterday is there were 4 to 5 adults that stayed around yesterday. Some of them were directly attached to children. Some of them were just passerby. So one family came with the husband and wife with their 3 children. And, Mom, you had to talk to the gentleman a little bit. Can you share anything?
Yes. Well, Lori talked to him first, and she's back here teaching stuff. She was presenting to him the gospel.
Right.
And he told her that Jesus was a prophet and that there are 125 prophets. And I heard this conversation. He maintained his position. And Lori maintained hers and nothing. But he had his wife with him and 3 boys. And the 3 boys had now been incorporated with our kids. Ryan had the littlest one, and another child had the other one, and so they were doing crafts together and talking. So I waited a while, and then I went over and asked the man where he was from. And he said he was from Kurdistan, and that he spoke Kurdish as his language, and that his wife did not speak English at all. And I said, do the boys speak English? So I'm watching them. I'm thinking, who's going to... You know, I don't speak Kurdish. God, you're going to give me a tongue here?
You speak in tongues, yeah.
That was my thought. But I had a pretty lengthy conversation with him. He'd been in the country for 20 years. All 3 boys had been born here. He was here 13 years by himself, and then he brought his wife from Kurdistan, and she had been here 7, of course. And the thing... So there was something he said to me, like, I did not give him the gospel. I knew he had been given the gospel, and I wanted to see how soft he was or hardened he was, and what I was concerned about the boys. So I said to him, do you, how long have you been here? What mosque do you go to? you know, I was, and he said to me, I had a very good friend who went to Prestonwood. I don't know where that is. That's like a mosque. I said, no, it's a church. He said, it's a big church. I said, yes. He said, that friend helped me. He helped me feed, he fed me. The man was retired. He has one leg shorter than the other, cannot walk on both legs.
Yeah.
And he said, he helped me, he fed me. I said, that's love. That's Christ's love for you. And he stopped and he looked at me and he said, my friend moved away to Colorado. And I said, there are lots of people here that are Christian that will give you that love. And he said, well, my wife needs to learn English. And I said, yeah. And then he proceeded to tell me something about learning English, you know, about it was free somewhere. I'm sure he was totally Medicaid, Medicare, everything he could do. But him saying that, and he responded to that quite, I mean, he was like looking at me like, whoa, this lady's. So then, and he asked me where I was from, and I told him Mars, you know. Anyway, I talked to his wife, and she did speak a little English. And she was putting together one of the crafts and took that. And I, you know, the boys went, the boy was 2, 5, 8, 7, 6, something like that. So one of them was in school. But he was just, and when he left, he said, God bless you. He said it over and over again to us.
And they stayed the whole time, and they did hear.
And I gave lots of extra food because
But these kids come back. I saw four kids who met us out on the Easter egg hunt site. They were very late. We all hugged them and told them we missed them because we see them every year at Christmas and Easter. You know, some of these kids have come to camp with us. We have three of our leaders have came out of this apartment community. So please be in prayer for our opportunity to continue to grow these relationships in a Garden Gate community. It may be different children. It may be the same children. It's whatever God wants it to be.
And for this family.
I don't know their name, Mom.
I couldn't pronounce his last name, and his first name was just about as bad.
Well, the Kurdish family?
The Kurdish family. And all three boys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Garden Gate Kurdish family.
Now, bouncing off of that, for several years, about how many years you've been going to that Muslim outreach?
Well, it was before I retired, so at least six.
Phil, I've been going to a Muslim outreach, and for whatever reason, I wasn't hit, but the Lord finally hit me in the head. And 2 weeks ago at the pastor's conference in Houston, they brought in a speaker who was a Persian Muslim, converted to Christianity, and he goes worldwide, giving lectures and talks, and very effective. And people, the more of them coming in every day into our country. Texas, learned this on this speech, Texas has the most mosques of any state, and it's not because we're the biggest state, because we're not, Alaska is. It's because we're one of the most conservative. If they can break Texas, the Muslims, Islam, can break Texas, they can break anywhere in the country. They feel like they pretty much got Europe. And so what I'm going to do, and you know how stingy and jealous I am of our study time, but Wednesday nights, and I'll let you know what Wednesday night's going to start unless we put it out on email, we're going to run maybe three Wednesday nights. I'm going to do a presentation, and I really beg you to come for your own good, to learn so much about what's going on. They believe in Jesus. He's a prophet, but not a Messiah, not Christ. Not Jesus Christ, the Messiah. They don't believe in that. This is the book of the people, Jews and Christians. This book is false. This book is falsely written to upgrade Christ and downgrade Muhammad. Nothing about Muhammad in it. But that's their view of this book, and their view of Christianity. But what I want you to learn, two things. One, their goal, their objective in the United States, Sharia law, and make this a Islamic nation, not just Muslim, Islamic nation. And you've got to know about that. And then to witness to them and love them, not hate them. Yes.
Well, he kept emphasizing the fact they are not peaceful religions.
Oh, no.
You know, I mean, he emphasized it. So, you know, when we hear it, no, they're not. Their true agenda is to take over. Mm-hmm. And we cannot be deceived by the emergence churches where they're everybody love each other. They are not. Mm-hmm. No, they are not peaceful. They will not. So if you can get a few that's going to, and they are coming to Christ. But I think we have to be real careful, too, as to how we present that, because when push comes to shove, they're for Sharia law, they're for everything that is taken.
They're for Muhammad and Allah.
Right, yeah. Here is the bottom line.
Yeah, that's the bottom
line. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
That in the end, they will go back to what they know, what they've been bred, and how they've been taught.
Yeah.
And in no time will they take our considerations as the forefront of what they're going to do at that moment.
That's
okay. And they are. Have you read Spencer's book?
No.
Okay.
I'm just breaking into all of this.
Well, you're going to talk about the Haditha. You're going to talk about
Hadith.
Yeah. You're going to talk about, of course, what the Quran really is.
Yes.
Yes.
And you're going to get into the demographics and the literacy of those countries. You've got to understand that the illiteracy in those countries are running. And you can go read the DOD documents that are coming out when we first got there. You're talking about 85 and 90% illiteracy among the males and higher among the women. Okay?
Well, they're not allowed to learn.
They're illiterate. Okay.
Well, and that's pretty much what you're saying. I mean, they are coming to Christ, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
But pretty
not
much,
enough.
Huh?
Not enough of them.
Well, yeah. I don't think, Herman, there's any way to accept them.
No.
Because of their background.
No.
But yeah. You said specifically, we need to love them, not
yes.
hate them.
Yes.
So that's very different than this tone.
Yes.
Well, not accept. I agree with that. But love, yes.
Accept.
We can love but not accept. Christ loves but not accept.
I appreciate that. We have to show them.
Yeah, we have to show them love.
The Pope is wanting them all together, and it's one God, one Jesus.
That's what they want. Yeah. What were you going to say?
Would you please?
Okay. You know, the point is, God is reaching out to the Muslims. God is
our God. Yeah.
Very strongly working in the Muslim world.
Yes.
Even as we speak.
Yes.
You met one guy at that conference. I'm sure you had a powerful witness. You could see a room full of them if you go to the Muslim Background Believer Conference. You'll hear stories of people who had dreams and visions, people who were miraculously delivered from life-threatening situations, and they knew it was the hand of Christ that led them out, not Allah. And
good.
Fassel is from that background.
Yes, right? Absolutely. He puts up with it.
And went to that conference with me one year and gave a very, very, very powerful testimony to them. And I'm not saying that we accept the Muslim people and try to bring their faith into our church. I'm saying those people are children of God. They deserve the love of God, and you have to take it to them.
Yes.
It's our job to take it to them.
Yes.
Not to hate them for what they believe. A pornographer is just as hateful before God as a Muslim is.
Absolutely.
You give him the gospel and try to lead him, right?
Absolutely.
And there is no difference between these people and any other child.
Well, the difference is that they want to overtake this country. They want to go against our Constitution and take away our freedom. And take the heads,
Democrat for crying out
and loud. Take the heads off of Christians. They want to take the heads off of Christians in foreign countries. That's what they'll do here, if we allow it.
Yeah.
If we allow it. That's the difference.
You can say allow it as in I'm going to go and kill every Muslim I see, or you can say I'm not going to allow it because I'm going to lead every Muslim I meet to Christ.
That, but politically, we can't allow it.
Well, no.
Well, politically, we don't need to vote for him.
Yeah.
You know, that's for
I'm
sure.
I'm not saying elect one to office. I'm saying show them the love of Christ.
I know it. I know it. I know that.
To say, when the, like the guy that Patricia talked to, he kept saying, God is one. God is one. And his point was, God can't be God and be Jesus.
Yeah.
You know? He's talking about the Trinity. Well, the Bible says over and over again that God is one. Yeah. We agree.
Yeah.
You don't have to argue that point. Yeah. God is one. He is so magnificent and unfathomable that we see him in three persons.
Yeah. Yeah. But their God does not have a son. He could not have a son. And that's in the Quran. They could not have a son.
Right. Right. There's
Allah does not have a son.
It's only a prophet argument. If Christ is a prophet.
Yeah.
Can a prophet lie? Because Christ said he was God.
Yeah.
And so he can't be God or can't be a prophet.
Yeah.
Either he's not a prophet or he is God.
Or he is God. Absolutely. We saw that in the first class this morning. Yeah. Absolutely.
And it isn't like you're going to break through a lifetime of learning in an individual in one conversation.
No.
You're going to treat them in love, give them information one time, let them go down the road and hear it again.
Just like God, you would anyone else.
Yes, like you would anyone else.
I don't think that's what we're saying. We absolutely give them. I lived downstairs from the Muslim people. They were great, friendly people. But when push comes to shove, it's going to be, unless they believe in Jesus Christ, they are going to go to what they believe.
Yeah.
And they believe taking us out. They're out for one thing, to destroy the Jews and destroy the Christians.
Yep. That's their goal.
I'm not saying the people that
not win us over, but destroy us. We want to win them over to Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we are peaceful.
Overriding. If you're in the power of the Spirit and God is leading you, it all takes care of itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever you need to say, we said, and whatever needs to be done, the Spirit will
exactly.
do
it.
You're off the hook if you want.
Yeah.
But
that's it. Yeah. It's that easy. It's that simple.
Okay, Marie, yes. Well, Herman, I just wanted to say, if you're saying we have the most mosques in Texas, then it sounds like that we have this huge
opportunity.
We have the biggest opportunity as Christians to pray.
Biggest challenge and biggest opportunity.
If nothing else, to pray that Muslims will come to the faith in Jesus Christ by being in our nation.
The greatest challenge to our freedom and the greatest opportunity with the Muslim. Absolutely. Yeah. Did I see a hand back there? Okay. Let's move into our study. What time we have left here. And we're going to... Oh, we have to do the offering. Yeah.
I have one more thing. Today is... Well, Tuesday is the last day you can put orders in for flowers. And that's to raise money.
Is it not going?
No, but
we're selling, dude.
But Phil will stop putting him down in the ground for you.
So, Tuesday's the last day to do your orders. It'll be here on April 14th in our front yard.
April the 14th. Is that a Saturday morning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Saturday morning.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, so people, talk about our young people. Here's your opportunity to support them. And support the camps that are coming up. Okay, let's. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give no grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. It was pointed out to me that last week we did not take an offering. That was on design. I know most preachers would say, well, get the new people, get the visitors while they're here. I don't have that view. That's why we don't have a building, maybe. But I just want to thank you. For last Sunday, y'all were, Paul, in many of his epistles, praises the Thessalonians, the praises the people, and I just praise you. The way you treated guests, if we didn't know, strangers, they've commented, I've gotten emails that they appreciated the warmth and the friendliness. People they didn't know, they felt very welcomed here, and I just floated with pride. For this assembly last Sunday morning, at the way that y'all did treat the guests that came in to celebrate with us James's promotion to heaven. It's difficult to go through and thank everyone. I leave out somebody, and that's not a good deal. But I just want to thank every one of you that had any part and just getting things done. Kit worked well on the getting the presentation of James's singing and the various videos, and we had trouble. I wanted this one. He couldn't find it. We found it and all that, and he put it in, and so I thank him. I thank the McMillans, took care of James's brother John and his wife Henny, and put them up. I'm very appreciative of that. Judith got the food ordered, got a nice cake. I was surprised. Nearly that whole cake was gone, too. That was pretty good. And only two sandwiches were left, and I had them Monday for dinner, for lunch. And but I thank Jim for doing that, getting the flowers arranged, and Jim getting the internet. Rick got us the video. We can't find everything that James had. One thing we can't find is his video recorder. And Patty can't find it at the house. So we don't know what happened to it. But Rick found us one and recorded all of last Sunday. If you wanted it or somebody wants it. It's also on the internet, right? With the film? Yeah. So a lot of different ways that you can enjoy that. In fact, I got a letter from, it said, James Webb subject from Tish. And I went, Tish, okay. But it's Tish Bullock. And in her letter, she said, she's sorry to hear James is gone. She said he, in the third paragraph, he was quite proud of his church family. He sent me many sermons and, of course, videos of him singing. He is now singing in the Heavenly Choir. For the last 10 years or so, I have sent him an email every Sunday reminding him that it was Sunday school and church time. We will miss him as unique friendship. And I certainly do, and I'm sure some of you do. And but I just appreciate John, his brother, sent me a really long letter, email, and I haven't answered it yet. But just think overwhelmingly, this congregation, for your friendliness, the way you made everyone feel. He said, I felt like it was my church. Just, man, my brother was leading the singing, and y'all were singing and all that, and didn't ask me to do anything, and he didn't have to do it all. And so I just appreciate your attitude and your thinking last Sunday. And now it's time Brian's going to have to take up some slack, and we're going to have Morgan sing more. We're going to have Rick. Rick, you're going to have to sing. That's all there is to it. We're going to. Huh? Sure. And so we're going to have to take up the slack and continue on with our worship. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. The gospel is free, the message is free, but getting it out in Satan's world costs. And to have the camp, it costs. These things cost. So it's our privilege, not our burden, our privilege to support this aspect of getting out the gospel. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. You know our needs, Heavenly Father. And we trust you will supply. We pray you'll receive the offerings we're about to give, that you'll continue to use this humble assembly in the spreading of the gospel to both believers and unbelievers. Cause us to witness to more people and tell them about our assembly. It's humble. It's not in a big church building. But it's where we want to worship. Maybe somebody else will too. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, let's get ready for our study this morning. We have several things I need to finish one thing and then move into another. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer. It's not a ritual prayer. Some prayers are ritual. We give thanks for food, and that's why some people thank you for the food. Amen. Let's eat. But this prayer is important. Test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a teacher. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How thankful we are that it is the book of Jews and Christians. How grateful we are that God the Holy Spirit inspired the writing and illuminates it for us now and causes us to understand it. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the first hour this morning, we started looking at the book, the Bible. The Muslims believe that it's ill-written and written with the sliding toward Jesus and all these kind of things. People to us, it's the Word of God. And what we're looking at now, what I'm briefly going through, is prophecy 1,000 years before Christ. Prophesied Christ. Now, people, if this had been written by a group of men in a 30-day period or something, like the Septuagint, okay. The guy wrote this, and he has it fulfilled in Jesus. But 1,000 years difference. 1,000 years, 500 years, 800 years before the actual occurrence, the Bible says they're going to occur. You look at the Bible, there's no way you can deny, if you have any kind of intelligence, that this is indeed the Word of God. Now we've moved, and I'm going to go over those very quickly for you, but we've moved to the 14th one, so let me just quickly give you these, and then we'll move on. The first one, he would be betrayed by a friend. He would be betrayed by a friend. Psalm 41:9, 55:22, 55:12-14, fulfilled. Matthew 26:14-16, 47-50, Luke 22:19-23, and 48. Gospel of John 13:18-30, 18:2-5. Now, that's one. Two. This is not in one of the handouts. I was hoping to get this done in the 9:15 class. Didn't quite make it. The one you have is the one we'll look at in a moment. Okay, secondly, the shepherd will be struck down and the sheep will be scattered. That's just an amazing prophecy. Prophesied in Zechariah 13:7. Fulfilled, Matthew 36:31 and 56. Mark 14:27. John 16:32. Three, he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. That is amazing. That is just amazing. 500 years before Christ prophesied 30 pieces. Just amazing. Prophesied. Zechariah 11:12. Fulfilled. Matthew 26:14-15. Four, that 30 pieces of silver, this is, you don't make this stuff up. This is unbelievable prophecy. That same 30 pieces of silver would be used to buy the potter's field. 30 pieces given to betray him, that same 30 pieces to buy the potter. How can that be? How can that be? Well, we know the story. Zechariah 11. 12 and 13, 30 pieces of silver to be used for the potter's field, prophesied 500 years later, Matthew 27:3 and 6 through 10. We all know the story. Judas, how much will you pay me? 30 pieces of silver. He realizes what he had done and he throws it down. They can't use it. Legalism, religion is just so amazing. We're going to kill him, murder him, but we want to do it by law. Now, we've given 30 pieces of silver to betray him, but we can't put it back in our treasury. So he put it in Potter's Field. That's how it's fulfilled. Just amazing, the Bible. And then, five, another would succeed Judas. How's that for prophecy? One would betray him, and one would take his place. Someone would take the place of Judas. Psalm 109, 7 and 8. Prophesied 800 years before it's fulfilled in Acts 1, 16 through 20. Six, his friends, this is just amazing. His friends would stand afar off. Psalm 38:11, Psalm 88:18, prophesied 800 years earlier, fulfilled in Matthew 26, 56 to 58, 27, 55, Mark 15, 4, Luke 23, 49, as he hung on the cross, the lady stood afar. As he was going through the trials, his Peter stood afar to watch. Prophesied 800 years. You can trust the Bible, people. All right. Seven, he would be beaten and spat upon. Isaiah 56, more than 500 years later, it would be fulfilled in Matthew 26, 67, Luke 22, 63 through 65. Eight, he would be accused by false witnesses. Psalm 27, 12, Psalm 35, 11. Prophesied 800 years before Phil, 800 years later. Matthew 26, 59 and 60. Mark 14, 55 through 61. By the way, that's an amazing study. They couldn't find anyone, but then they found two. And the reading in the English, it doesn't make much sense. But if you understand what happened to get these false witnesses, it's an amazing story. Nine, he would be despised and rejected. Isaiah 53, 2 and 3, prophesied 500 years earlier, fulfilled in Luke 17, 35, Luke 23, 18, Matthew 26, 67, Gospel of John 1, 11. 10, he would be accursed and afflicted, but did not open his mouth. Think about that. Somebody's beating you. You're going, wow, what's going on? You're just wrong. I'm innocent. I'm innocent. Famous words. Open not his mouth. Isaiah 53, 7. Prophesied. Fulfilled 500 years later. Luke 23, 9 and 10. Matthew 26, 62, 63. 27, 14. Mark 14, 61. Mark 15, 5. Gospel of John 19, 9. 11. Unbelievable prophecy. He would be struck on the head, specifically stated. Micah 5:1, prophesied 500 years earlier, fulfilled Matthew 27:30. They beat me on the head. 12. He would be beaten and spat upon. Isaiah 56. 500 years later, fulfilled in Matthew 26:67, 27:26-30. Mark 14, 65, Luke 22, 63 through 65, John 19, 1. 13, he would be mocked and insulted by many. The great Psalm of 22. By the way, if over the next few days, getting into Resurrection Sunday celebration, you just want to sit down and open your Bible and read outside of the New Testament. Psalm 22, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, Psalm 22. Awesome study. Just read. Just sit down and read and meditate. All right. 13, he would be mocked and insulted by many. Psalm 22, 7 and 8 and 17. Fulfilled 1,000 years later. Mark 15, 29 through 32. Matthew 27, 31 and 39 through 43. Luke 23, 35 through 39. 14. In the law of Moses, he will be hung on a tree as a curse by God for all mankind. Deuteronomy 21:23, fulfilled Galatians 3:13. Just amazing. 15 now. We begin 15 for those of you that were here at the early class. 15, it is prophesied that that he would be numbered, crucified, with transgressors. Isaiah 53:12, fulfilled by Christ's own words. Luke 22:37. Matthew 27:38. Mark 15:27-28. Mark 15:27-28. Now, 16. His death is prophesied with real figures of history. He will be lifted up on the cross as Moses lifted up as a snake. Prophesied 1,500 years before it was fulfilled in Numbers 21:9 and fulfilled in John 3:14-15. 17. Talk about specifics. How about this one? He will be thirsty during execution. Psalm 22:15. Fulfilled 19:28. John 19:28. Just prophesied.
You stated he was, the prophecy was in relation to real figures in history?
Yes. Moses.
Moses, okay.
Yes.
But he was a real figure in history too. So
yes. That's what I'm saying. Here he is, a figure in his own history, Moses. And Jesus is identified with him in his death. He lifted it up. Alright, he will be thirsty during execution. Psalm 22:15, fulfilled. John 19:28. Most of you know that story. 18. Another specific. He will be pierced when crucified. No way this can be known in prophecy in Old Testament, in the Old Testament. He will be pierced when crucified. Generally, crucifixion is enough. Psalm 22:16. Zechariah 12:10. Be fulfilled in the doubting words of Thomas. John 20:25-27. John 19:34-37. Matthew 27:35. 19. Another historical prophecy. Soldiers will cast lots for his clothing. Psalm 22:18. Fulfilled. Matthew 27:35. Mark 15:24. Luke 23:34. John 19:23. 20. This is just another amazing details. He will be given vinegar, sour wine, while being crucified. Prophesied. Psalm 69:21. Fulfilled. On the cross, Matthew 27:34, 27:48, Mark 15:23-36, Luke 23:36, John 19:29, 21. Be the Passover sacrifice with no bones broken. How can this possibly be applied to a human being? Fulfilled, John 19:14, John 19:23. Come back later and I'll give you the words prophesied. I forgot to put it in. 23 or 22. Forsaken by God. Ever feel that way? Forsaken by God. How can this apply to the Son of God? Psalm 22:1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Fulfilled, Christ's own words, Mark 15:34. Matthew 27:46. Now, the 24th one, or the 23rd one, demands theological and spiritual understanding. But let's just cover it quickly this morning. Commit his spirit into the hands of God. That's got to be understood theologically and spiritually. But commit his spirit to the hands of God. Psalm 31:5, fulfilled at Luke 23:46 on the cross. To thy hands I commit my spirit. 24. A gospel prophecy. Take up our pain and bear our suffering. Isaiah 53:4. Fulfilled at Romans 5:8. In the Isaiah 53 passage, it's interesting because we looked at him and we never esteemed that he was suffering for us. We thought he was suffering because he deserved it, not because he was suffering for us. It's a beautiful passage. Fulfilled in Romans 5:8. 25, be buried with the rich. How about that for prophecy? Isaiah 53:9. Fulfilled, Matthew 27:57-60. And if you just think of all the things that have to happen, see what a lot of people want to do. Well, this is one I've read in seminary. Jesus knew these things written, so he did it just so they'd be fulfilled. Well, people, you've got to get Jesus, false witnesses, the religious crowd, the Romans. You've got to get a lot of people to know Old Testament Scripture to do it just because it was prophesied. And why would they do that anyway? No, this is the fulfillment, the prophecy of the Word of God. Prophesied in 53:4, fulfilled in Romans 5:8. 25, be buried with the rich, Isaiah 53:9, fulfilled in Matthew 27:57-60, through a converted Joseph of Arimathea. 26. Now, this is my last one. There are many, many more. But these are just so obvious when you read them. Be raised up from the dead. Be raised up from the dead. Let's look at Psalm 16. Let's look at Psalm 16:10. Prophesied. Psalm 16:10. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay, meaning decay in the grave. Fulfilled, Acts chapter 1. Let's look at Acts chapter 1. How is it possible he will be killed, buried, but not allowed to decay? How is that even possible? Acts chapter 1, verse 3. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering of death, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, speaking of things concerning the kingdom of God. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus, God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Look at Acts 13. Acts 13, and let's read 34 through 37. Acts 13, 34. As for the fact that he raised him up from the dead, no longer to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Verse 35, therefore, he also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. Jesus Christ applying the Old Testament passage to his own person. Now, I told the early crowds, let me just tell you, and we're all aware of the fact, there are Christian scholars, maybe Christian, maybe not, who deny messianic passages in the Old Testament. That is, they would say that all these passages that we've looked at do not apply in their writing to Jesus Christ. Well, how about they're being fulfilled over here? That, no, there's no fulfillment. These are not prophecy. These are not talking about him. They have nothing to do. I just want you to understand, there are people who do believe that, that these do not refer to our Savior. How they can do it, I don't know. When Jesus Christ himself, right here in Acts 13, says it. Acts 13, 35. Therefore, he also says to another, Psalms, you will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. Referring to Psalm to himself. You can't deny this. 36. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers, underwent decay. So it couldn't have been talking about David. The people say, well, that was just David talking. But he didn't, he went under decay. But not Jesus Christ. But he whom God raised up did not undergo decay. So here's the application of the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. Look at 2 Timothy 2. I'm looking at these, getting ready for Resurrection Sunday. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. You have resurrection, heritage to be king, gospel. And then you can read along with Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, John chapter 20. Now, you have in your hands the last week of Jesus Christ. We will resume here next Sunday morning at 9:15. So, Kit has the wrong date, but that's okay because it's even another wrong date. Even if he'd have put down today's date, I didn't get to it. Now, let me just give you a prayer request. James volunteered to do those messages that you got every Sunday morning. He wanted to know why I wouldn't do it at the 9:15 and why I didn't do it on Wednesday, but nevertheless, he put together those so that you could go home and have the passages, read them and study them. James was promoted home to the Lord. I said, okay, y'all are going to have to learn how to take good notes. I'm going to have to learn how to use the overhead to get these things done. Well, I did not ask. Kit came and said, can I take up the doing the messages? Are you sure? And he looked at me and he said, I think so. I loved it. I think so. I said, well, let's try it a while. If you decide it's you don't have the time and interfering, then we can drop it because we're going to have to anyway. Yes. Wow.
There are some other countries that all they can get is the screen paper download.
Wow, very good.
They're not allowed, they're blocked. You know, they're already online streaming.
Very good.
More important than ever that if
there you are, kid.
It's only allowed for 10 to 15 minutes. This is the only way to get the message.
Wow, very good. Thank you. Okay, on that, it's time to go, but on that, I've been looking. I loved the James on the TV monitor, and my wife wants that monitor back home, so I had to take it back home. But I've been doing some investigatory work, and we can get a 70-inch for what, 823? Huh? Under 850. That will have all the connections we need for our need. If somebody like John or somebody comes in, they'd be able to plug into it. And so unless there's any objection, I'm going for it. Yes?
Is this a television or is it a monitor?
It is a television. I can't find just a monitor. Better than 850 for 70 inch.
Yeah, I agree with him because I look at that price and even Adorama.com can give you a better price.
I love you people.
And I hear 650.
I hear 650.
So are we in agreement that if it's less than 8 whatever that we can execute this?
Yes, we're right. Unless there's an objection.
And he who finds the cheapest price has to pay for it.
No, 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 we won't have any yet. We'll be back to $2,000.
Can we first check, are we fully paid for everything that we did for our upgrades? Are we good there? Are we
fully paid for all of our new equipment up here? Pretty much. Okay, yes.
Do we have the resolve of the volume? Don Decker said he could not get it. It was garbled. Do you know about that?
Yeah. Don Decker didn't call you?
I listened to that lesson, and I can hear it fine.
Okay. Fine. All right. Then it may be his. Yes, sir.
Is it Julie or Jim has the exact specifications that you want on this particular television?
He wants a large screen, but we want an HDMI input. That's the license that John Hintz comes here. All his computer has is a HDMI. Okay.
Okay, let's take care of that after. Let's go ahead and close. Yes, Morgan.
I was just going to say, your point 21, it's Psalm 34.
No, 34 to good. Thank you. And I don't have to go and look it up. Psalm 34.
All right.
Good. Thank you. Wow. My computer's wonderful. Huh?
Say it on your mic one more time.
Psalm 34, 20.
You say it.
Yeah, you say it.
Psalm 34, 20. They want you to record it.
All right. Psalm
34, 20.
Psalm 34, 20. And that was point?
21.
Okay. For the internet. By the way, I talked to Tony on this building. If we can mount a screen on here, and he said yes. I was surprised, but he said yes, no problem. And as I was explaining to him about James's presentation, how wonderful that was, and that'd be great. I mean, we could probably build some kind of I'd get Trey to build some kind of a stand or something for it, but it'd be nice if we can have it mounted, yes.
Take out the
light so the rest of the lights
don't have to copy.
Take out the bulb.
Yeah, just take out the bulb.
Right?
But you're taking out my light. Okay, we'll work on that. All right, next Sunday morning, 9:15, we will do the last week of Jesus Christ. And let me just say this. This is based on a Wednesday crucifixion. If you fellowship with family or friends over the next 10 days through the resurrection week, and they believe it's Friday, it's not worth making fellowship. As long as you both agree he died for the sins of the world and rose again. That's the main thing. My point is to be faithful and honest with the text. And there are too many problems if he's buried on Friday afternoon at 6 o'clock. There's too many problems. There's no way you can sneak in 3 days, but you can't sneak in 3 nights. So there's just two, and then there's the high day that you'll read about. But we'll go through all of this next Sunday morning. But that's why I believe in a Wednesday crucifixion. And there are a number of people that also believe in a Wednesday crucifixion. I was surprised. I have a man comes over my house once or twice a week now to help me with Logos. He used to work with Logos and sell Logos. And he comes over and we're working. And I figured if I've got this great tool and I'm not using it, shame on me. So he comes over and we were talking this week. And he said, no, he believes in a Wednesday resurrection also. And his name is Cody. He's going to be in prayer. And he goes to a Chinese church and teaches there and everything. He and his wife, when he gets out of seminary, Dallas Seminary, they want to go to China as missionaries. So I told him, well, then he's got to teach me Logos before he can go to China. And he said, oh my, no he didn't. No he didn't. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Thy word is a light unto my path, that I might see where to walk. To this assembly, Father, your word is crucial. Without it, we're lost. But Heavenly Father, without the ministry of your Spirit, we're still no better off. We thank you. We praise you for letting us know what kind of God you are in your word. Your personal, intimate God with whom we can pray to, talk with, cry to, yell at, and praise from your word. We thank you. We praise you for your word. For sending us your Spirit, to causing us to see the truthfulness in it. It's a vital week in history, the week Jesus Christ went to the cross on our behalf. I pray that over this week, think about that. Pray about that. Tell somebody else about it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.